One of the requirements for being a bishop or an elder in the church is that a man must hold to the Word of God and defend it against false teachers. This is what Paul talks about in Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. We're going to read Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 13. Paul said that an elder must hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." This is a section that every elder in the Lord's church needs to pay close attention to. Verse 10 says that an elder or a bishop or a pastor is supposed to hold fast to the faithful word just like he's been taught. Notice that he says that the word is the faithful word. That means the word of God is reliable. That means you can always count on it. It will always do its work. Just keep it and be patient. It will always be right. It will always be true. It will never change. That's what the Bible means when it says that we are to hold to the faithful word. It is that reliable word. It's always dependable. Now, elders, like other Christians, have been taught that word. Notice that he says to hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Literally, that means according to the teaching. That is the apostles' doctrine, the inspired word. In Romans 16, verse 17, the Bible says, "To mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned." Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So there was this chain of teaching in the first century, but it all started with the inspired teaching of the gospel that was given, of course, through the apostles and other inspired men. Now, the Bible says that an elder is to hold fast to this faithful word, just like he's been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So this sound doctrine that an elder has been taught, if he holds on to that faithful word, he will be able to exhort. That means to urge and to admonish. And not only exhort, but also to convince the gainsayers. Now, what does the word convince mean here? Well, the word convince means to convict. It means to refute. It means to correct. It means to reprove or show somebody his fault. Notice how this same word in the original is used in other passages. Now, this helps us to understand what Paul means when he says that an elder is to convince the gainsayers. This word that is translated convince here is translated convict in the New King James Version. And here are some other passages in the New Testament where this same word in the original is used. And these verses help us to understand what the meaning of this word is and help us to apply it, especially to elders in the church and their responsibility toward these gainsayers. Now, a gainsayer is simply somebody who contradicts the Bible. That's what the word gainsayer means. It means to speak against or to contradict the Bible. In Acts 13, verse 45, the Bible translates it contradicting. So the idea of a gainsayer is a man who says something contrary to the Bible. The Bible says one thing, and he says just the opposite of what the Bible says. If the Bible says to do something, he says, "No, you don't have to do that." just like the devil did back in Genesis 3, verse 4. After God had said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die, the devil came back and contradicted what God said by saying, you shall not surely die. Now, that's what a gainsayer is. That's the kind of false teacher that Paul is talking about. But now, to get back to this word convince here, when the Bible says that an elder is to be able to convince these people who contradict the Bible, here are some passages where that word in the original is used that is translated convince here. In Ephesians 5, verse 11, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The word reprove there is the word for convince here. In Titus chapter 1, verse 13, we find it again. It has the added word sharply, but the word rebuke in Titus chapter 1, verse 13 is this word. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says that those elders that sin are to be rebuked before all. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul said, preach the word, reprove. That's the word for convince here. But here are two really practical examples of the word for convince here. It means to go to somebody who is in the wrong, in this case, a false teacher in Titus 1, and tell that person that he is wrong. In Luke chapter 3, verse 19, John the Baptist went to Herod, and he reproved Herod for the marriage that he'd gotten himself into and also for all the other evils that Herod had done. Now, that's the idea of convincing. It doesn't just mean to reason with somebody and persuade them that they're wrong. It means to confront them and to get onto them and to correct them, to tell them that they are wrong, to tell them where they're wrong. Now, for instance, you find this same word that is translated to convince here in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, is also used in Matthew 18, verse 15. That's where Jesus said, moreover, if your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Well, you see, the words, tell him his fault, are from the exact same word that you find translated to convince here. So what is an elder doing when he convinces the gainsayers, the King James says, or convicts the gainsayers, as the New King James says? Well, he tells them where they are wrong. So what does this mean then for an elder in the church? Now, this is very important for elders in the church to consider and for people to consider when they're thinking about putting a man in as an elder in a congregation. This passage says that an elder in the Lord's church must know the Bible well enough to show when teaching is contrary to the Scriptures, and he has to have the courage to confront people who teach false doctrine and show them by the Bible where they are wrong. Now, that's Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Now, beginning in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, Paul tells Titus the reason why it was so important for elders to be able and to have the courage to confront these false teachers, because there was a problem with these false teachers where Titus was, on the island of Crete. Now, many times in the New Testament, you find that there was false doctrine. In the first century, there were many false doctrines that we read about in the New Testament. For instance, the Bible talks about the Antichrist heresy. You read about that in the book of 1 John and in the book of 2 John. An Antichrist was somebody that said that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, that he didn't really have a fleshly form, that he was not God in the flesh. Well, that was a heresy. And the Bible exposes that heresy in 1 John and 2 John. You also read about a doctrine called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in Revelation chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible doesn't go into detail about what that was. Some writers in church history say that that referred to a sect of people who were very lascivious in their teaching, and they used the grace of God as an excuse to get involved in immorality. Another false doctrine that you read about in 2 Timothy was the doctrine that some taught that the resurrection was past. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says that that was no innocent doctrine. And Paul said that those people who were teaching that doctrine had overthrown the faith of some people that believed it. Then you have the doctrine that was taught by some in the first century that the coming of the Lord was present then. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul warns about that. He said, don't believe anybody who tells you that the day of the Lord has come. And then, of course, you have some of this false teaching in the New Testament where people did take the grace of God and use it as an excuse to sin. Jude verse 4 talks about those who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, you also read about that heresy. But the most common and the most widespread heresy in the first century church was the idea that Christians, especially Gentile Christians, had to keep the law of Moses to be saved. Now that's the doctrine that Paul is warning Titus about here. That's the doctrine that you read about in Acts 15, verse 1. There were certain teachers in the early church who said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, what they were saying was, you Gentiles in the church must be circumcised and you have to keep the law of Moses or else you're going to be lost. You cannot be saved unless you keep the law of Moses and the gospel. Oftentimes, these people are called today Judaizing teachers because they were trying to make Christians into Jews. And these were Jews in the church. Jews outside of the church, of course, persecuted these Christians, but there were Jews who had been baptized into the church, especially among the Pharisees. And they went around teaching these Gentile Christians that they had to keep the law of Moses and the gospel. That's what the book of Galatians is about. That's the heresy that Paul is combating in that book. Now, this was the problem in Titus chapter 1, as you read these words and as he describes these false teachers, this is what you need to keep in mind. The problem that Paul warned Titus about in these verses that we've just read is the problem of Judaizing teachers. Now, there are two things in this passage that really show us that. In verse 10, he said, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Why does Paul call these false teachers the circumcision? Well, it's because of what we read in Acts 15, verse 1. It's because they told people you have to do this in order to be saved. And so sometimes in Paul's writings, he simply refers to them as the circumcision. But another point that you'll notice in Titus chapter 1 that shows that he's talking about these Jews who have come into the church and they're causing problems is verse 14, where he says, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." So there's no doubt about it. The problem that he's talking about here is the false teaching of Judaizing teachers. He talked about that in 1 Timothy, and now he's talking about that in Titus. And the question that we're going to look at in the next lesson is, what did Paul tell Titus to do about this problem? What kind of teaching did he give him? And that's where we're going to pick up in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, in our next lesson.